Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Bronx House Dawn from the Boogie Down Bronx. My dad performed in Radio City Music Hall, and I would say that would be one of the best concerts I ever seen. He was dancing right before the Rockettes.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Ahead on the show, the sounds of gospel fill our studio when Naomi Shelton and the Gospel Queens join us to play live. And there's an unusual documentary coming out next month about the Australian musician Nick Cave. The filmmakers will tell us how they got inside the mind of a songwriter known for dark lyrics and an even darker sense of humor. Now, speaking of humor, last week, the New Yorker magazine's website published a piece called Sonny Rollins in His Own Words. In this piece, the legendary 83-year-old saxophonist, one of the greatest living figures in jazz, apparently vents about how much he hates jazz. Here's a quote. "Jazz might be the stupidest thing anyone ever came up with. The band starts a song, but then everything falls apart, and the musicians just play whatever they want as long as they can stand it. People take turns noodling around, and once they run out of ideas and have to stop, the audience claps. I'm getting angry just thinking about it." Now, you might be thinking, Sonny Rollins wrote that? Well, of course he didn't. The essay appeared in the magazine's online humor column, The Daily Shout, and it was written by Django Gold, who also contributes to the satirical newspaper The Onion. But many jazz fans were not amused by the piece, which they say made a joke about jazz at the expense of a beloved figure. Others thought that the piece was funny and that the fans' reaction revealed that jazz takes itself too seriously. Well, you know what that means, folks.
Soundcheck Smackdown!
Yes, it is time for another Soundcheck Smackdown, and two guests join me to square off on the New Yorker's Sonny Rollins satire. Howard Mandel is a longtime jazz writer who skewered the New Yorker in a piece on the website Arts Journal. And Ashley Hamer is a jazz saxophonist who loved the piece and tweeted, "This weekend, the New Yorker found out that jazz fans don't have a sense of humor." Both of them join us from the studio of WBEZ in Chicago. Howard, Ashley, to both of you, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you, John.
Thank you very much.
Howard, what was your first reaction when you initially read that piece?
Oh, gosh, this is dumb. That was what I thought. I thought this is so stupid. And, you know, it's going to send a very confused message to the world. It's just like, oh, gosh. And it's in The New Yorker? Gee Louise, I mean...
But it was in The New Yorker's Daily Shout page, which is their, that's their humor column.
Well, actually, when it was on Facebook projected that way, it did not say Daily Shout. It does not say humor column. It has a very serious inset of Sonny Rollins, and it says Sonny Rollins in His Own Words. Now, I mean, I'm a sophisticated New Yorker reader. I've read New Yorker all my life, and I know what Shouts and Murmurs is. I don't usually read it online, so I didn't realize it was a Daily Shouts column. But I obviously knew it was not Sonny Rollins saying this. Many people thought it was Sonny Rollins saying this. And the problem is, you know, when something like that goes out on the internet now, it goes all around the world, and people who do not understand all of the nuanced signage on the site or don't see it in that form because it's forwarded to them as an excerpt or something like that, they have no idea.
Ashley, what was your first reaction to the piece?
Well, I'll say it definitely took me a second, probably a couple paragraphs in. I was like, what is this? And as I figured out what was going on, I started laughing more and more and more because it's just so ridiculous. Like, jazz musicians are known to be some of the hardest workers. They, you know, obviously this is not true, but it's such an absurd and kind of hilarious idea that like, what if all of these guys just hated jazz and the only reason they had these long and storied careers was that they just couldn't quit? I thought that was really funny, and I laughed out loud at it.
Well, you know, the first paragraph, I mean, when I came to this, it was, I found it on the New Yorker website. It was on the Daily Shout page. It was clearly part of their humor column. But Howard, if you found it on Facebook without any sort of knowledge of where it came from, I could see how the first paragraph could sort of raise an eyebrow. The writer goes, I started playing the saxophone when I was 13 years old. There were other kids on my block who had taken it up, and I thought it might be fun. I later learned that these guys' parents had forced them into it. Okay, you know, that sounds completely plausible to me. But then the next line, the saxophone sounds horrible, like a scared pig. I never learned the names of most of the other instruments, but they all sound awful too. I mean, at that point, you had to know that this was not Sonny Rollins.
Well, I knew that it was not Sonny Rollins. I've interviewed Sonny Rollins. I've written pieces on Sonny Rollins. I've met Sonny Rollins backstage. But what really got me was the last lines, I've wasted my life. To me, that's not words that you put into an 83-year-old man's parody. It's not particularly funny. I mean, I didn't laugh. I didn't think that the humor was humorous. Now, there's certainly room for people to have a different sense of humor, and, you know, if they laughed at it and thought it was hilarious. But, okay, if we study satire, what is the joke here? Who is being attacked? What pomposities are being punctured? And I think it's disingenuous to say, well, we were trying to goof on the seriousness of jazz fans.
Ashley, do you have an answer to the question that Howard just posed? What pomposity is being punctured here?
I don't think anyone was being attacked. I don't think anything was being punctured. I think it was... it was just a bit of absurdity that puts you in a fun new universe. I mean, I think another thing that a lot of critics of it are saying is it kind of sounds like it's just some guy who doesn't like jazz who's making fun of it. But, I mean, it was very clear from the things that he included that he knows jazz. He's clearly a jazz fan. Django Gold tweeted to Sonny Rollins that, like, you're the king. Like, thank you for having a sense of humor about this. And it's, you know, I everyone's talking about how it's making fun of jazz fans and jazz seriousness, but I don't think it's actually making fun of anything.
Well, if it's not making fun of anything, I don't know what the point is.
Howard, if it were funny, in your view, would that be okay? Would that make the whole piece okay, despite, you know, whatever other reservations you have about it?
Well, if it was funny, then it would be a different piece, so it's kind of hard to imagine. On my blog posting, I linked to a story by Donald Bartlemy, the king of jazz, is the name of the story, mm-hmm. that was published in The New Yorker. It's a funny piece, and there are many other funny pieces about jazz. The Spinal Tap interview about jazz is hilarious. Sonny Rollins is a funny guy. Fats Waller was funny. Duke Ellington made jokes, you know.
Well, this
wasn't funny. That's the greatest sin. It's not funny. You know, the piece about Miles Davis, it's pathetic. And, I mean, you can kind of believe that Miles Davis would be having an existential crisis backstage and say, okay, let's go out and do this.
This is towards the end of the article called Sonny Rollins in His Own Words. Once I played the Montreux Jazz Festival in Switzerland with Miles Davis, I walked in on him smoking cigarettes and staring at his horn for what must have been 15 minutes like it was a poisonous snake and he wasn't sure if it was dead. Finally, Miles stood up, turned to his band and said, all right, let's get through this and we'll go to the airport. He looked like he was about to cry. I thought that was actually pretty funny.
I think most people have trouble imagining that Miles Davis ever cried a tear in his
life.
Yeah,
really.
I think that's
the
point.
Now, Ashley, you tweeted this. You quoted from Howard's article, not that jazz is sacrosanct, but equals every jazz fan's intro to their objection to that Sonny Rollins piece. Does this kind of... you know, play into the stereotype that is being skewered in this work of satire?
I think it does. And I've talked to some of my friends who aren't jazz fans, and that's something that they've come up with independently, saying, like, this is just showing what the stereotypes are of jazz fans, that they just can't take a joke, that they're very serious about this stuff. I think one of the problems that people had with the article is that, and Sonny Rollins said this himself, that, you know, jazz is kind of the underdog, that we're not doing so well as far as popularity is concerned right now. And this is not helping. I feel like if you're going to get, you know, young blood into, like, enjoying live jazz, you can't you can't make it stuffy like a fine wine or something like that. You have to, you know, you got to loosen up.
Well, now we asked both of you. Again, we're speaking with Howard Mandel, the jazz writer, long based in New York but recently relocated to his old hometown there in Chicago, and Ashley Hamer, the jazz sax player based in Chicago. We're talking about this New Yorker piece that was part of their Daily Shout humor column called Sonny Rollins in His Own Words. Now, Howard, you said that not only does Sonny Rollins have a sense of humor, you've picked a piece of music for us that displays that. Tell us about I'm an Old Cowhand.
Well, Sonny made a record in, I guess, the late 50s called Way Out West, in which on the cover he's wearing a cowboy hat and toy six guns. And one of the pieces he plays is I'm an Old Cowhand, which is, you know, a really good, humored, funny song.
Mm-hmm.
And he's laughing. But, you know, Sonny is such a wonderful, compassionate, and multidimensional musician that he can express humor and love for something at the same time in his sound. And that's what, one of the things we love about him. And this is not the only, you know, instance where Sonny pokes fun at a song. I mean, he has a very broad repertoire. No Business Like Show Business, Toot Toot Tootsie Goodbye. He plays songs that we don't usually take very seriously, and he's not taking them exactly seriously, but on the other hand, he is, and he makes it a thing of beauty. That's great.
Let's hear a little bit. Sonny Rollins recording from Way Out West of I'm an Old Cowhand. Sonny Rollins from a 1957 album called Way Out West. That's his recording of the Johnny Mercer song I'm an Old Cowhand. And Howard Mandel picked that because he thinks it shows Sonny's sense of humor. And actually, when we asked Ashley Hamer for a choice, that was your first choice too, wasn't it, Ashley?
It was. I love that one.
All right, so the two of you agree on that at least. Have you guys seen Sonny Rollins' own response, the online video chat about this article in The New Yorker?
Yes.
Yeah, I have.
All right. So what do you make of his disclosure right off the bat that he's a longtime subscriber to Mad Magazine? I thought that was great.
That was great.
He's got a sense of humor.
My reaction to The New Yorker piece was that it was a piece from Mad Magazine. And I saw it, I read it, cursory glance at it, and it was so ridiculous. I had no idea that anybody could conceive of it being true. It was sort of like from Mad Magazine. And as I said, I'm a big Mad Magazine fan. I'm a subscriber for many years.
So that is Sonny Rollins. After, you know, sort of being repeatedly questioned about, you know, the effects of the piece and people misunderstanding it, Sonny Rollins began to kind of change the tenor of his response to the New Yorker piece. And again, it was on the New Yorker's website, their Daily Shout column. And he added that he started to feel that the piece ridiculed jazz too much. Listen to this.
They're saying some very, very insulting things about jazz, very derogatory things about jazz. The way it sounds, the way it's played, the musician, everything is really, I can't even repeat it and read the article now. Can't take it.
So Ashley, you know, he also says he's concerned about how young musicians would receive the message in this piece. You know, as a young musician, did something in this piece by Django Gold resonate with you?
I mean, it resonated with me because as a young musician, I'm I'm really into humor. I'm really into just having a good time and making light of a lot of the things that are really central to my life. You know, I'm disappointed that he thought that it was derogatory, but I do think that his first reaction is like precisely how you should react to this article. You know, Mad Magazine, that's a, mm-hmm. a work mm-hmm. of satire, and it was ridiculous, and that was what made it great. The Onion has also featured some jazz humor columns that I really enjoyed. Every time they have something funny about jazz, I'm into it.
So, in general, do you find that jazz takes itself too seriously and needs to be shaken up a bit every now and then?
I don't personally feel that way, but I know that people outside of the jazz community feel that way.
Yeah.
And I want those people inside the jazz community.
I didn't get a sense of love. And whether I did or not, again, I think I'm a very extremely sensitive reader to The New Yorker, to humor columns, and to things about jazz. I thought, this is not good for people who are outside jazz. Like Ashley's saying, you know, she thinks that the non-jazz people always think jazz people are too serious. Well, this is not saying jazz is worth taking seriously and it's lighthearted. It just says, I wasted my life. And Miles Davis doesn't believe in what he's doing. And playing with Bud Powell and Charlie Parker was a drag. And, you know, I can't really even name the other instruments. And this is the stupidest thing that ever happened. It's like again and again and again. It's derogatory. And it's not, there's no twist on it.
Our listener Ben seems to agree with you. He says, I thought it was funny, Ben writes, but it was written from the perspective of someone who has little understanding of jazz, as opposed to Sonny, who mastered it. And Greg writes in and says, it seems to prove that satire is not easy to do well. What about the disclaimer that was added later? The New Yorker eventually, actually pretty quickly, put in a disclaimer that says, you know, this is a work of satire at the bottom of the page. It was then moved to the top of the page. And then finally, the New Yorker's culture desk sent out a tweet saying, dear readers, the Sonny Rollins quote-unquote interview was satire published on our humor blog. Our apologies to anyone who thought it was real. What do you guys make of that? Ashley Howard mentioned before that this is something that might trail after, you know, Sonny Rollins for the rest of his life because, you know, nothing goes away on the internet. Is that a valid point?
I mean, I think that with this disclaimer, I don't think it will trail him. I think, and also with all of the uproar about it, it's kind of such a famous piece of satire now. Everyone knows that it was satire, that I don't think that anyone will be, you know, using this in like a jazz history essays or anything like that.
Howard, is there maybe a silver lining to this dark cloud in that, you know, suddenly there are many, many more people hearing about Sonny Rollins, perhaps for the first time?
I guess so. That would be the silver lining.
I mean, people...
I don't know. Yes, anything that brings attention to Sonny Rollins is great. Sonny Rollins was on The Simpsons. That was great. Mm-hmm. You know, if Sonny Rollins gets a medal from the... president at the White House, as he did last year or the year before, that's great. Being a jazz master is great. Sonny Rollins being in the present is great. Being on television, being in the radio, Sonny Rollins being quoted as saying, I hate my life, I wasted my life. That's not great. And yes, satire is hard. And I think this is failed attempt at writing humor. Now, if Ashley laughed out loud, you know, I've got to say, we have different sense of humor, and that's very likely and very possible. We're different ages, and we have different backgrounds.
I just wonder if you reframed it, and if you put a different character in his place that didn't have to do with music. Like, I know one person suggested Neil Armstrong. If Neil Armstrong said, "The when I first stepped foot on the moon, that was the worst day of my life. Like, that I just spent my entire life hating science and hating math, and I had to go to the moon. Like, that, I think that's hilarious, too. Like, just putting yourself in this new, strange universe.
The absurdity factor is very much in play in this piece. So, Howard, we asked you for your favorite piece. You picked I'm an Old Cowhand. And, Ashley, once that was off the table because Howard picked it, what was your choice for a favorite Sonny Rollins work?
Well, this one really should have been my first choice, and it was one of those things where I woke up at 6 in the morning and went, I should have picked Eternal Triangle. this is one that just shows his just, like, boss mastery of the saxophone. It's there's a cool story behind it.
Did you just use boss
as
an adjective?
Sunny Side Up, which is Dizzy Gillespie recorded one session with Sonny Stitt, one session with Sonny Rollins, and then he had them both in for this particular track. And the story goes, we don't know if this is true, but the story goes that he called each one of them up individually and said the other one was really getting ready for a cutting session, was totally thought he was going to play better than the other. And you can hear it on the recording. These guys are just giving it everything they have, and it's really amazing.
So they have their own little sound check smackdown going on there in the studio.
They do.
That is pretty boss. A word I have not heard used in that.
I don't know why I used that word. I never used that word.
That was
good
word. That's a great... takes me back. All right. Ashley, it has been boss talking to you today.
Howard
Mandel, nice to speak with you again.
Likewise, John.
And what better way to wrap up than with a great tune from Sonny Rollins? Here's Eternal Triangle. Okay, folks, you've heard our guests, jazz saxophonist Ashley Hamer and writer Howard Mandel weighing in. Did you read the Sonny Rollins satire on the New Yorker's website? It's on our website now if you want to check it out. Tell us what you thought of it and the reaction that has followed in the jazz world. Post a comment on our page at soundcheck.org or leave us a voicemail at 866-939-1612. And we just might include you on an upcoming show.
I'm Allie from San Francisco, and you're listening to Soundcheck from WNYC.